Well, today the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing arguments on a case that could affect more than 2,300 prison inmates who were convicted as juveniles and are now serving life sentences. The biggest impact could be in Philadelphia, which has more so-called juvenile lifers than any other place in the country. And many families of those inmates view the case as their last hope. Bobby Allen from Here and Now contributor WHYY reports.
It was Labor Day weekend 2006, and David Sparks' neighborhood in North Philadelphia was having a block party. Music was blaring, people were barbecuing, and some teenagers who lived nearby were playing dice. At some point, an argument broke out, and a 20-year-old man was shot dead. Although he and his family say he's innocent, Sparks was charged and convicted of murder. He was sentenced for life in prison without parole for the act prosecutors say he committed as a 16-year-old.
He wasn't a bad child. He decided that, you know, he just wanted to test the streets at that time.
Tamika Hawkins is Sparks' mother. She says her son was in and out of trouble growing up, but she doesn't think he's a cold-blooded killer.
For him to leave me, it was really heart-wrenching, really heart-wrenching. My heart has been stomped, torn, pounded on. I'm just picking up my pieces now, and it's been almost 10 years.
In 2012, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that putting teens away for life without the possibility of parole is cruel and unusual, saying being a minor makes them less culpable and that they deserve a chance to redeem themselves. But now the court will consider whether that ruling should apply retroactively to those who were sentenced before the decision, like Sparks. In Philadelphia alone, about 300 inmates could be eligible for resentencing.
I'm praying that the decision is going to come down in my favor. Not just my favor, but a lot of teenage boys, men that are there, that's been there for a very long time.
Since the 2012 decision, states have been dealing with numerous lawsuits questioning the automatic life sentences that put many juveniles behind bars before the ruling. In Pennsylvania, if someone is charged with homicide, no matter how young they are, they're charged as adults. As a result, there have been murder cases involving children as young as 9 years old.
We should not tolerate a justice system in this country that essentially metes out justice by that kind of an arbitrary decision-making process.
Marsha Levick is the deputy director of the Juvenile Law Center, and she's part of the legal team that will be arguing in front of the high court. She says teenagers are less blameworthy for their actions. In other words, their age alone is a mitigating factor.
What the research tells us is that they tend to be impetuous and impulsive. Juveniles aren't thinking about consequences. That's one of the reasons why the Supreme Court said they should be sentenced differently.
But prosecutors have a different view. Philadelphia's District Attorney Seth Williams says the victims' families need to be considered. He says they shouldn't be re-victimized every time there's a new court decision, because many of them don't care how old the killer was.
We're talking about killings, not someone that just, you know, stole someone's laptop. We're talking about the life, the loss of life, and us having to look into the eyes of the victim's family who wants something done.
Williams says there's no easy way to deal with someone who's committed a heinous murder.
But we have to do something to hold people accountable who commit first-degree murder. So we've already taken off the table. They're not going to get the death penalty.
But advocates like Marsha Levick say the U.S. is the only industrialized country that has juveniles serving life sentences without parole.
To the extent that the United States would like to be a leader in human rights, we need to be a leader in criminal justice policy as well.
Some activists say a compromise is needed. Jane Bishop is a public defender in Cook County, Illinois. The topic is personal for her. Her sister and brother-in-law were killed by a juvenile outside of Chicago nearly 25 years ago.
I think it should be a long sentence because I think that human life is precious and there needs to be something equal in gravity to that. But I don't think it should be an endless sentence.
That's not how she always felt. Bishop was happy to see justice served when the teen who killed members of her family was given a life sentence. But then she reached out to the killer's family and she had a change of heart. She quit her corporate job to become a public defender. Then she wrote a book about it.
A juvenile life without parole sentence says, you know, it's endless punishment, and we are never, ever going to turn back and take a second look at you, and we can't do that with any human being.
A new report published in the American University Law Review counted 2,341 people serving life without parole sentences around the country. Besides Philadelphia, Los Angeles, New Orleans, and Chicago have the largest share of them. If the Supreme Court agrees these inmates' cases need to be re-examined, giving some of them release dates, a key question will become, will they come out rehabilitated? For one, Tamika Hawkins says her son has dreams of becoming a teacher. She says it will be easy not mixing with the group of kids he left nearly a decade ago.
He's a very mature man. He has wowed me. He's turned out to be very strong, very intelligent.
The case in front of the justices is called Montgomery versus Louisiana, and a decision is expected sometime this term. For Here and Now, I'm Bobby Allen in Philadelphia.